Good morning and welcome to Ask the Governor on WTOP, our monthly visit with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. To be a part of the program, give us a call toll-free at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us by going to WTOP.com. You can also send in questions via our Facebook page and on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGovernor. That's AskTheGov, G-O-V. Now, with the governor, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Governor, thanks for coming. Happy New Year. We haven't seen you since last year, college football season, as a matter of fact. And we're going to talk about that later in the show. This is going to be a little bit different Ask the Governor show than normal months, but we'll get to that later. And there's a lot to talk about budget-wise and otherwise. One of the things that has come up in the budget and in part of your transportation plan, Governor, is the possibility of selling naming rights to roadways and, I guess, bridges. Walk us through that and how much money that would really raise. I think a lot of people have questions about that who are out on the roads.
Well, listen, we're looking at a series of creative things to raise money for transportation. We had nearly $4 billion in transportation improvements that we got approved last year, bonds, an infrastructure bank, and some other things. This year, I have a proposal to generate ultimately about $300 million a year for transportation maintenance by phasing in an increasing part of the sales tax dedicated to transportation. But one of the ideas, and one of many ideas, is also to allow naming rights. So, you know, corporations are always willing to pay money to have their name on various things. We currently already do it, Mark, with the rest stops, where people are able to do various commercial activities there within the confines of federal law, and they pay money to do that. And we're just looking at expanding that to other roads and bridges and so forth. It's just one idea of many that can generate some money. How much money? We don't know. It just depends on how many people want to do it. But we expect that it will be some. And every bit we got towards transportation is helpful.
And would this be roads that are currently named? I mean, Jeff Davis Highway, something like that? Or would it just be roads that currently have a number attached to
it? Probably ones just have a number. You know, there are some that are named, obviously, after historic figures. We're not going to remove them and make it the Verizon Bridge or anything. But
Share a name. I mean,
Probably not. I think the main idea is there's any number of roads that are not named, and it would be those. And, you know, it gives a little bit of free publicity to a corporate sponsor, puts money into roads.
You know, you say your plan wants to raise $300 million. A lot of people say, well, you're going to have a tough time getting to that. Other than shifting part of the sales tax, I think, is that what you said is also part of your plan? Where else does this money come from to pay for the transportation needs? Where will you get this money to fully fund the transportation
needs?
Well,
our proposal, Mark, is right now a half a cent of the 5 cents Virginia sales tax goes to transportation. I'm just suggesting that, look, roads, bridges, infrastructure is a priority. Let's bump that up from 0.5 cents to 0.75 cents over the next 8 years. So every 2 years, we'll go up another 0.05 cents. I put that in the budget this year, so $110 million over the next 2 years. We've got some other proposals to expand the amount of the surplus. And people don't realize the surpluses we've generated, which has been $1 billion of surpluses the last couple of years because of revenue growth from job creation and also for managing our expenses better, have put about $150 million of surplus revenues into transportation. I'm saying that maintenance is our big problem. We got construction money last year. Maintenance is draining $400-500 million a year out of the construction fund. Let's take a bigger chunk of the sales tax and dedicate it to transportation maintenance. I think we can afford it. We're growing again at an average of around 4% over the next couple of years. Let's make roads a priority.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell here to take your calls, emails, and Facebook questions on Ask the Governor after a look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
This is Ask the Governor on WTOP Radio, today with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. To be a part of the program, call us at 877-336-1035. Lots of activity already on the phone, so please be patient. 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com. Questions on our Facebook page. Also, you can use Twitter, the hashtag AskTheGov. Once again, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Let's finish this transportation funding conversation. Yesterday, Maryland Governor O'Malley sat in that chair and made big news by announcing his plans for a gas tax by adding the 6% sales tax to the gas tax in Maryland. Some of the critics of your transportation plan say that you really need to bite the bullet and raise the gas tax in Virginia, which has one of the lowest gas taxes, about 17.5 cents per gallon, that could help solve the transportation funding problems. My two-part question to you is, what do you think of the idea in Maryland of adding a sales tax of a percentage of the cost of gas rather than a flat tax? And what about raising the tax in Virginia?
Well, Mark, you're not going to get that announcement out of this chair today. I'm disappointed to tell you. Listen, you know, we're recovering from the worst economy in 80 years. I'm not going to raise taxes on the hardworking people of Virginia, but what I will do is I'll help our economy grow, and we'll create jobs, and we'll create more tax revenue through economic expansion, and we're going to reform government. I've got a number of those bills in place this year so we can squeeze more money out of the bureaucracy. You know, I'm looking at an $85 billion budget this year, which is the largest in Virginia history, billions greater than the last year. So it's a question of setting priorities, making tough choices, something Washington refuses to do. Look, Governor Malley's got to decide what's best for Maryland. We're not going to do that in Virginia, but we are going to find ways, as I've done in this budget, to dedicate more money to transportation. Again, last year, nearly $4 billion to construction. This year, we're aiming at a plan to eventually have $300 million a year of new money for road maintenance. This plan will go a long way towards getting it done.
What about the idea of, I know you don't want to raise taxes in Virginia, but the idea of shifting to a percentage-based tax on gasoline rather than a flat tax?
Well, you know, if we'd done that in 1986, I wouldn't be having this conversation today because it would have grown with the cost of inflation. We got a couple of realistic problems, and I was very direct with the General Assembly in my remarks at the State of the Union. The gas tax today is worth 48 cents on the dollar because of inflation, and we're actually having less gas sold per capita because of fuel efficiency, alternative fuels, electric cars, natural gas cars, etc. So it's going to be an ongoing challenge. You know, there are proposals in there to index the gas tax. I'm not sure what'll pass. What I've done is say, look, what I think we ought to do is to dedicate more of our existing revenues. That's my proposal. If there's others that pass, you know, I'll take a look at them when they get to me. But I'm advocating the sales tax rededication to transportation.
So you're not going as far as saying that you would veto any increase in the gas tax or any taxes?
Well, no, I will not support an increase in the gas tax.
So you would, if that got to your desk,
will not support an increase in the rate of the gas tax. Now, there's some other realignments and some offsetting tax credits and so forth. The General Assembly is talking about putting some of those packages together. I'm going to have to decide what is the net impact on revenues, and does it do something to make our tax code more competitive and at the same time put more money into transportation. If there were those kind of proposals, I'd certainly take a look at them. So, but I think I'm asking the General Assembly to pass my bill that helps dramatically with transportation. And, you know, while we're at it, Mark, we got a bill passed 2 years ago that dedicated all 80% of the proceeds from offshore drilling for oil and natural gas to transportation. It's been hundreds of millions of dollars over time. President Obama pulled the rug on us. I've got Senator Webb and Senator Warner now on my side, along with almost all the congressional delegation. It's time we get that proposal dusted off the shelf. He said in the State of the Commonwealth, State of the Union the other night, hey, I'm for all of the above, a comprehensive approach. I bet fell out of my chair. I've been saying that for a while, but there's no indication he's serious about it. And I'd say, Mr. President, let's do it. Let's allow drilling and let's get that money to transportation.
How about tolls? Are tolls going to happen? Are new tolls going to show up in Virginia?
It's part of our concept of leverage, Mark, and we're doing it right now on a number of projects that we're moving forward. The hot lanes on 95, the hot lanes that you're going to see that are soon to be done on the Beltway from Tyson's to the Mixing Bowl. In Hampton Roads, a new Midtown Tunnel, a new Route 460. We're going to take that $4 billion and leverage it to $8 or $9 or $10 billion in projects by the concept of tolls. We put in 25% on some of these projects. Private sector puts in 75%. We have tolls to pay debt service on the bonds, and we can get a lot of projects done. So, yes, I'm employing that, and I'm going to do it where it makes sense, and the hot lanes is one example.
Let's get some calls in. We have Colleen. She's calling from Fairfax. Colleen, you're on with the governor. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm home today working on college applications since it's a teacher work day.
Yes.
I know last year you passed a higher education plan to reduce costs and increase access to Virginia colleges
yes.
and universities. what else can we expect on the education front?
Hey, Colleen, I'm so glad you called on that, because last year really was a landmark achievement. In a divided General Assembly, we got a unanimous vote. All 140 legislators voted for our, I think, very forward-looking approach to reforming higher education. 100,000 new degrees over 15 years, focus on the STEM areas, year-round use of facilities, more use of technology, more research and development to lead to commercially practical technologies and jobs. This year is the tough part. This year is the money. And I've put $230 million of new money into the budget, Colleen, for exactly the reason that you said. We have doubled college tuition over the last 10 years. That's unacceptable. I will not allow that to continue. And the General Assembly is right with us on that. So we put $230 million of new money, and we're creating a brand new funding formula to help drive those policies in the legislation last year. More financial aid, year-round use of facilities, higher graduation rates, more STEM degrees, all the things that are going to create jobs in the future. So that's what you can expect. And so far, the proposal that I've made has gotten very strong bipartisan embrace from the legislature.
We're going to follow up on education after a look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
This is Ask the Governor on WTOP, a conversation with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Your chance to call in and ask a question of the governor at 877-336-1035. Dial carefully, 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com. Send in questions via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Here's WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
Governor, let's finish up on education. One of the things that we hear a lot, whether it's Virginia governor, Maryland governor sitting in that chair, it's in-state students who have GPAs of 3.5, 4.0, and they still can't get into their state colleges because it's just so competitive and there's just a limited number of slots. What have you done to make it easier for Virginia students to get into Virginia colleges?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mark, as you know, I got a 4.0 one year. I told you, you know, I got a 2.0 the first semester and a 2.0 the second semester, and it wasn't that hard. Listen, that's the whole motivation behind our higher education reforms. Not enough kids can get into college. Right now, we have only about 38% of all Virginia young people that have a college degree from Virginia. With this 100,000 new degrees, we'll get it to over 50% and be able to keep the tuition lower because we're making the investment. So rather than they create an artificial quota for the number of in-state students, my goal is expand the entire pool, allow more students total, and most of the schools, it'll be 70, 80, 90% will actually be in-state. Now, William & Mary, UVA, some of those, it's actually down around 70%. But if we expand the pie as we're doing, Mark, a lot more young people, particularly from Northern Virginia, are going to get into these schools.
And you mentioned that you watched the President's State of the Union address.
I did.
He spoke about education and education funding.
Yes.
And he pretty much put colleges on notice that, look, if you expect to get federal funding, that you need to keep tuition rates down.
Absolutely. He's right. He and I actually had a lot of similarity on some of the things that we talked about. This is one area where I think there's room for bipartisan agreement, particularly in the K-12 area, where the president was advocate of charter schools, merit pay, tenure reform, more accountability, more rigor. I think he and Secretary Duncan are exactly right. And I've been talking about this since I become governor, which is why we have a very aggressive K-12 reform package this year. But I think on the higher education piece, that's part of our bill this year, is we're asking the universities to reprogram 5% of their existing money out of bureaucracy, out of administration, and into these issues like more degrees in these STEM areas, more financial aid, more productivity out of the universities. And that's part. They've got to do their part, and we're going to do our part. So I think the president was on the right track with that.
Let's get back to the phones. Edgar is calling from Fairfax. Edgar, you're on with the governor. Go ahead.
Hi, Governor. You made it clear your desire to ensure that Virginia is the most veteran-friendly state in the
yes.
country. And so far, you've passed a number of measures to aim to achieve that. But what more can we expect to see out of the General Assembly this session?
Well, Edgar, thank you for the call. And if you're a veteran, I salute you. I'm the father of an Iraq War veteran and did a quick 21 myself. And I tell you, we have 830,000 veterans in Virginia, more per capita than I think any other state. Home of the Pentagon and just terrific military support here in Virginia. So what we're doing this year is we have a bill in. One of the key bills is to require that all veterans have access to in-state tuition in Virginia colleges. We've got some other measures that will create some veterans hiring preferences for Virginians, particularly these young men and women now coming back from Iraq. A lot of the National Guardsmen, I've seen several of their redeployments. It's heartwarming, but these young people now need opportunities. So we're going to do that. We've got some other proposals that create additional benefits in Virginia's cemeteries and some things like that. So listen, we have a pretty broad agenda, about 11 bills that we've advocated this year, but they all are aimed at this goal of making us the most veteran-friendly state. I think we're almost there, but there's a little more we want to do.
Governor, let's talk about rats. Maryland, Virginia, and the district are going to have a rat summit because Attorney General Cuccinelli in Virginia has made quite a dust up about some legislation in the district which protects wildlife and regulates how pest control operators can come in and remove rodents and whatnot. And Mr. Cuccinelli has said, and Congressman Wolf in Virginia have both expressed concerns to the district that this is going to lead to more rats being dropped off, taken into, and other wild animals into Virginia. Do you share these concerns of your counterparts in Virginia that the legislation in the district is going to lead to rats in Virginia? Legislation in the district is going to lead to rats in the Virginia?
Mark, I have to say I have not followed that legislation in the district that closely. I know the Attorney General and my Secretary of Natural Resources have looked at that. Obviously, if there are things that increase rodents that carry disease in Virginia, we'd be concerned about it. But look, Governor O'Malley and Mayor Gray and I meet from time to time and talk about issues of regional importance on crime, on transportation, and other things. This was not a subject we've talked about recently, but I have confidence that any concerns that we've got will be appropriately addressed.
Governor O'Malley said yesterday that the last time the two of you met, in fact, you discussed the possibility of a new bridge connecting Maryland and Virginia over the Potomac River. What's the reality of that?
Well, we're just in beginning stages, and this is nothing new. Previous governors between the states have talked about it. In fact, some of our predecessors 20 years ago actually put the plans in place that led to the expansion of the Wilson Bridge. That was a positive development. I think what Governor O'Malley and I both realize in looking at statistics, Mark, is both of us suffer from congestion on the Beltway. And a fair amount of that traffic is sort of the main to Florida traffic. In other words, they're not just commuting around D.C., but they're going up and down the busiest road in the East Coast, which is 95. And if we could have a water crossing, another water crossing, or an outer belt, let's say either east into Loudoun and then into Maryland with that new connector, west or east maybe through Fredericksburg or something like that, you could take a lot of that traffic off the Beltway. Now, expensive proposal, but maybe one long-term that would be more prudent than just expanding Beltway lanes. So we're just in beginning stages. Our secretaries are talking about it, and as those plans develop, we'll keep people posted.
Maybe the naming rights to the bridge.
The O'Malley-McDonald Bridge.
There you go. More of your questions for Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell after a look at traffic and weather.
This is Ask the Governor on WTOP Radio, your chance to pose a question to Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. The number to call is 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Send an email at WTOP.com. You can post questions on WTOP's Facebook page or send in a question on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Once again, WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
And you'll want to stay tuned to the entire show because this is the show where the governor turns the tables and gets to ask the questions. He's actually preparing his questions for me right now on a piece of paper, but that's for later.
It's going to be the toughest 10 minutes of your life, Mark.
I look forward to it. Let's get back to the phones. Caitlin is calling from Centerville. Caitlin, you are on with the governor. Go ahead.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, I saw coverage the other day of yet another statewide poll that put your job approval rating well above 60%, while the same poll had President Obama's approval in the 30s. Now, each of you has had to deal with the Democratic Senate and a Republican House, so what have you done differently to consistently receive such a high level of public support?
Well, hey, Caitlin, that's very nice of you to call in and say that. Those are snapshots in time. I don't get too hung up about that because those can change. I would say that what we've tried to do in Virginia, and you're right, I've got the same issues that President Obama does up until this year at a Democratic Senate and Republican House. And, we learned early on what people tell me all the time they want, Republican, Democrat, independent of different races, nationalities. They just want government to work efficiently, solve problems, and stay out of their way. so that they can pursue their dreams. And so we try to turn the temperature down, knock out the partisan rhetoric as much as possible. You know, Washington's a fairly toxic environment. I think the president's not done a good job in controlling that narrative up there and trying to bring people together. And we focus on solving problems. This year, I said, look, we got to fix VRS, we got to fix higher education, we got to do some of that transportation maintenance, we've got to solve some of the challenges with drug dealers. Here's solutions. And I'm saying, let's focus on those solutions. So we're finding some common ground, and I think that's what people want out of government. So listen, that's my best answer. I do also say I have an incredibly talented cabinet and staff that is really working incredibly hard, really believes in the mission. And they're good ambassadors. I'm very fortunate also to live in an incredible state. You know, Virginia's been from the cradle of democracy to now the most business-friendly state, the best-managed state according to a number of public polls. We got a lot going for us, and I'm just fortunate to be the governor.
Governor, let me ask you a little bit about, you know, this is now a Republican-controlled General Assembly now, Republican governor.
Almost controlled.
Pretty much controlled. You gave a warning to them or some advice to them. I'm quoting you here. Don't be arrogant. Don't overreach. And don't fight. And to your point of view, you wanted to get along and bipartisan
cooperation. That was to the majority. And I gave some advice to the minority, too, which was don't be angry. Don't be obstructionist. So there was advice for others, and I'm taking that advice personally myself to make sure we work together.
Do you think the majority is taking your advice? I can go through this list of their agenda, and it seems like a pretty conservative agenda, socially and economically and otherwise. Are you signing off on all this? Or do you think they're heeding your advice?
Mark, we're only a couple weeks into the session. Everybody can put bills in, but you know what? Every year, half of the bills pass. So we're just in the early stages. I think they're doing a very good job as a group doing the things that I've talked about. Fix retirement. Let's get a aggressive job creation package put in place. Let's reform government by cutting down some of the bureaucracy. Let's work on higher education. Let's reform our K-12 system with merit-based pay, with reforming tenure, with some other things. And that's the big things. Now, listen, I know the Democrats are trying to make hay, unfortunately, out of some social conservative bills. But, Mark, these are bills that get put in every year. The question is, what's actually going to pass? I think Republicans, you wouldn't expect any less than them sticking to their guns and doing things that they said they're going to do. So I think we are focusing on the big things that affect Virginia, which is jobs, taxes, regulation, government reform, and jobs. That's what we're working on.
How about restrictions on abortion? We got a lot of calls and emails from people who are concerned about some of the proposals that would put further restrictions on abortions in Virginia.
Well, nothing's passed yet. Of course people are going to put things
but
in.
But what do you support? The idea of having a woman have to take a sonogram before getting an abortion, is that something you would support?
An ultrasound, yes. I actually was the original sponsor of that bill about 10 years ago to give a woman the right to know all the information before she makes the choice. So having we already have...
Well, giving her the right to know and mandating a procedure are two completely different things.
Yeah, but I think it gives full information. An ultrasound is used for its modern technology, the costs have been driven down. To be able to have that information before making what most people would say is a very important, serious, life-changing decision, I think is appropriate.
Opponents of that would say, you know what, that should be a doctor's decision.
Well, the General Assembly has already required in every type of medical procedure something called informed consent. Whether you're getting surgery on your finger or an abortion or some other major invasive decision, we already spell out, Mark, a number of things that have to be provided in the interest of the patient. So this is not unusual. I know, look, some people are trying to make political hay by saying, look, you should be scared now. Republicans are in control. That's just not correct. I mean, look at what the Democrats are doing. They've got about 6 or 7 tax increases. They want to sell marijuana at ABC stores. They've got a lot of wacky ideas over there that I would say aren't ready for prime time either. So look, it's early in the session. I'm focusing on the same things I told people to focus on in the State of the Commonwealth speech: jobs, taxes, regulation, spending, transportation, energy. Let's lay the foundations for a bigger American dream. Let's do things that make Virginia continue to make Virginia a great state. That's what I'm focused on, and I think most legislators are too. Now, people are going to try to make political hay out of some ideas that are out there on both sides, but ultimately, Let's see what passes, and then we can talk about it.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell here until 11 o'clock, taking your calls on Ask the Governor. Now a look at traffic and weather on the 8th.
This is Ask the Governor on WTOP with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, taking your phone calls at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. You can send in questions via Facebook or Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Once again, WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
Governor, let's pick up where we were just talking off air about what are known as dram shop laws. And these are laws that about 38 states and the District of Columbia have what are known as dram shop laws. And that would allow someone to sue an establishment for civil damages if a bar or restaurant overserved a patron who then went out, drove drunk, and killed somebody. This just came up in Maryland and is going through or is going to the Court of Appeals in Maryland. Maryland does not have a dram shop law, nor does Virginia. In Virginia, if a drunk driver kills somebody, the family of the victim cannot then go back and try to recover damages from the bar that may or may not have overserved them. Where do you come down on this?
We've had laws like that or bills like that proposed, Mark, and under Virginia's system of tort law, we've considered that just a step too far because we believe in individual responsibility. If the patron is overserved by an establishment and they violate the laws and they get prosecuted for those laws, whether it's an underage drinker, whether they knowingly serve somebody that's intoxicated, there are already remedies. They can lose their alcohol license and a number of things. But we've taken an approach. In fact, this I presided over major reforms of our drunk driving laws back in 2003. We got some of the toughest drunk driving laws in the nation. This year, what we're trying to do is actually require an ignition interlock system to put on your car after your first offense. I got a bill passed a few years ago with the second offense, but this actually, Mark, requires a breathalyzer in your car, and if you're over the legal limit, that car will not start. Or if you drink while you're driving, it'll shut the car off. So that's an approach. And we also have a bill this year to create tough new mandatory punishment for people that drive drunk and actually injure other people. So we're taking that approach, interlock, tough penalties, but not so far as to hold the patrons responsible because there's an intervening act. And this is why under the legal theory is that individual still got to make the decision to go out and drive and use their keys to get in the car and operate a vehicle. That's not necessarily the responsibility of the restaurant owner and therefore shouldn't be held responsible. That's the view in Virginia.
Let me ask you about the King's Dominion Law, as it's known. And this is basically regulates not when all schools, but when a lot of the schools in Virginia are allowed to go back to school, not until, September? After Labor Day. And that is basically so that the hospitality industry, King's Dominion Theme Park, and others can have this labor pool of students available to them while they are still in season.
And tourists, because they're out of school.
Right. And so right now this is going through, legislation is going through that would do away with that.
Yes.
What are the chances, where do you come in on this, and what are the chances that this will pass? Because I know this has been tried before and failed.
It has failed for many years. I supported that bill this year, Mark, and I did for a couple of reasons. One is 77 out of 132 divisions already have an exemption. So the exception has become the rule. And that's not good law. Secondly, I think it's inappropriate for Richmond to be able to dictate to school divisions when they should, what their calendar should be. And let's leave it up to them at the local level to determine how they're going to best educate their children. Now, I think it's going to pass the House. It's on the floor in the next couple of days. It's been killed in the Senate, though, in a committee. So I think the chances probably are not good. But over time, we've got to focus on academic rigor and more time in the classroom and more local control of our school system. And that's why I got on board. I am concerned, though, about any impact on tourism because I'm promoting tourism extensively in Virginia. But I'm hoping what will happen is they just front load and people that took their vacations at the end of August will now take their vacations in early June and so that it won't have an impact. But that's the view now.
Let's get another call in here. We have John calling from Alexandria. John, you're on with the governor. Go ahead.
Yeah, Yes, Governor McDonald, a pleasure to talk with you.
Hi, John.
I have a question I wanted to ask. There was a case in Oklahoma recently where a recently widowed mother with an infant child shot and killed an intruder in her home,
yes.
But she was not prosecuted by virtue of the so-called state castle law where
yes.
You can avoid prosecution if you shoot and kill an intruder in your home. And a statistical graphic that was shown on television during the report indicated Virginia is one of those rare states that has not had its own castle law. I'm just interested to know why is that.
It's been proposed several years, but hasn't, to my knowledge, hasn't passed. And it's because it's already controlled by the common law, which is the castle doctrine, which essentially says, I have the ability to use deadly force against an intruder who comes into my home if I have a reasonable belief that the intruder is going to do damage or violence to me or my family. It stops though if I only think there's going to be damage done to my property. You have to use comparative deadly force. And so there's been bills introduced to actually extend that and to be able to allow a person to use that deadly force to protect their property or their person. And, you know, to me, that's reasonable. When somebody breaks in your house, especially in the dead of night, I don't know what they're going to do. And I've got to presume that they're going to do violence to me or my family. And so I'd certainly be supportive of reasonable use of force in broader circumstances to deter crime.
Let me, on these lines, ask you quickly about the allowing professors or others to carry a gun in a classroom on a college campus.
You know, I've issued an opinion before that said that's up to the local boards of visitors. We give them the ability to do that based on what they think is best. And virtually all the campuses have said that they will not permit that. There are bills that are going through. I don't think that those will pass. And at this point, I think that would create some unsettling feelings on college campuses. Although I do understand there have been some violent acts on campuses that perhaps if a professor was armed, he or she might have been able to stop some carnage. So I understand the other side of it.
Do you think that if someone had been armed at Virginia Tech, that it would have minimized the tragedy at Virginia Tech?
You know, Mark, that was such a horrific tragedy. I hate to do the armchair quarterbacking.
You just opened the door to
that. Well, I did, you know, but I don't want to do it in that context. I can only say that if there are circumstances where somebody is going to do violence to students and there's a responsible professor or law enforcement officer that might be able to intervene, you know, I could contemplate circumstances where less violence could be done. So, I mean, it is not an open and shut case. I just think that I've got three kids in Virginia colleges, and the fact that there aren't firearms in classrooms is, you know, for some of them is a source of comfort. So, I know there are two sides to that issue.
More with the Virginia governor after traffic and weather on the 8th.
For the final segment of Ask the Governor on WTOP Radio with Virginia Governor Bob McDonald. The phone number to call in is 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Still time to pose a question on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Here's WTOP's Mark Seagraves.
Actually, there's no more time for anyone but the governor really to ask questions, although I am going to throw one final question in here, Governor. They're going to the polls today in Florida. I would
yes.
be remiss if I did not ask you about this. You have endorsed Governor Romney. If Newt Gingrich loses today in Florida, is it time for him to get out of the race?
Well, that's completely up to Newt, and he's already said that he probably won't do that. I think competition's good for our team. We're down to four. Any one of them would be a better president, in my view, than President Obama when I look at the lack of leadership and our horrible jobs and spending and deficit and regulatory picture. So I can't speak for them. I've already decided I'm endorsing Mitt Romney. I think he'd be the best leader for America at this critical juncture. He knows how to create jobs. And I think he's got the best chance to attract independents.
You think if this goes all the way to a convention and it's undecided at that point that that's good for the Republican Party?
Well, I think at some point the writing will be on the wall. I'm just saying what the speaker has said at this point. I don't really think that will happen. I think that coming out of Florida, winner take all, Mitt Romney wins double digits, which I hope will happen today. He's got a very clear path in places like Virginia, where it's only Romney and Paul on the ballot, Missouri, where speaker's not on the ballot. I think there's a much harder path after today if, in fact, Mitt Romney wins. So we'll see what happens. You know, it's still early. This is only the fourth primary. And, you know, I just endorsed him. So you know, a lot of good things should happen now, Mark.
Had the endorsement go in South Carolina.
It went really bad.
All right, well, let's get to it.
But I only had 24 hours. You know, it didn't have time
to sink
in. Let's
get to it, because I don't want to chew into your time.
That's okay.
The governor and I made a bet on the Notre Dame-Maryland football game.
We did.
I should have asked for points. I did not. It wouldn't have mattered. Maryland lost. And so I lost the bet.
That's
which
right.
Which means, Governor, you get to ask some questions.
This is beautiful. See, if you were smart, you would have made a double or nothing on the basketball game since Maryland beat Notre Dame a month ago.
That's okay. Well, maybe on the women, if there are our women ever face
off. That's quite a bet. First question is, where did you get that great tie? You never wear a tie. What's going on? Are you under management scrutiny?
I've had some conversations with my bosses at my television bosses, who have mentioned my shabby appearance being somewhat of a problem.
Well, for the radio listeners, Mark Seagraves is GQ this morning. He looks like $1 million. Now, I got a real serious question. What are the top three things you like about the Commonwealth of Virginia? Even though you're a Maryland resident, I know you're over here a lot in Virginia. What do you like?
My family and I camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains and Shenandoah Mountains
great?
Every year. We were married. My wife and I were married in the shadow of the Shenandoah Mountains. We love camping, and we love the great outdoors in Virginia, and avail ourselves of it at every possible chance.
That's actually three. I can't believe you actually stuck to the question. So what's holding you up from moving? That's my next question.
I am almost a lifelong resident of the District of Columbia, and we very much enjoy living, working, and commuting to our jobs in the same city that we work and live in.
That's fair. Let me ask you about, you got two children?
I do.
10 and 14?
Yes.
Mine are much older now, 20 to 31, so I'm on the other end of this, but you're getting ready to get into that driver's license stage and some of these other things.
Yes.
If you raise the driving age,
I might move to Virginia.
Well, let me ask you, what do your kids tell you? When they look at what's going on in the country and they know what job you do, they're obviously a little bit more attuned, maybe than other kids. What do they talk about? What do they ask about the future of the country that they say they want right now?
You know, they don't really talk about that much. They're more concerned with the latest hip-hop releases and the latest 3D movies coming out and the video games that they can play. They are in tune with that we are the seat of government, and they understand how government works. They understand the different powers, Congress and the White House, legislative, judicial, whatnot. They certainly know what I do for a living, and I'll tell you a quick story. My son ran
They tell you who they'd vote for if they could vote?
No.
Okay.
But they did. My oldest son ran into former Mayor Williams once at an event, and the mayor went up to him and said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" He goes, "Oh, well, my dad is a pretty big deal in this town." And Mayor Williams said, "Well, I'm a pretty big deal in this town." He goes, "Oh, well, not as big as my dad." He goes, "Well, I'm mayor." And my son goes, "Oh." So that's my son's power story on me.
Well, but you know, he should have done the next step as Mayor Williams used to come on your show and beg for mercy. So, I mean, I think you're probably a bigger deal. All right, let me ask you about energy. President Obama said the other night, all of the above, American energy solutions. I mean, I don't see that in Virginia, since he's banging on natural gas and coal and offshore, not letting us do it. If we were to pursue just an offshore wind energy strategy, solar energy strategy, would you be willing to pay more in your electrical bills to go to a purely green energy approach?
Yes.
Really? How much more?
I'd have to look at the numbers
15?
And run some return on investment.
You're sandbagging me now. I'm asking you now. How much more do you want to pay?
I've been sandbagged before. Let me ask you. Are you going to take the vice presidential?
Well, you know, that's funny.
Mr.
That
Romney?
Was the next question I had for you. If you're offered the vice presidential nomination from either party, would you accept?
Absolutely, I would, and I think that anyone who tells you they weren't isn't going to be completely straight with you. What do you think about
that?
Which
is why I've told you before, if I got that call, you know, I will talk about it, but I'm not expecting it or asking
for
it.
Well, I'm definitely not expecting the call.
Okay. Well, what's the last book you read?
The last book I read, I am actually reading a book right now that I cannot remember. Oh, my God. I cannot even remember the title.
You'd never be able to run for office if you don't know the answer to that question.
It's an old book, and it's about the Lewis and Clark expedition. And what I found fascinating about it is that Thomas Jefferson lied to Congress to fund the Lewis and Clark expedition. And man, if I could remember that, it's a huge book.
But it turned out to be a pretty good deal.
I guess it did. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Now, where does when you're away from your 14 and 10-year-old children, you get to go out on a date with your wife, where does one of the most important men in Washington actually go for recreation?
For recreation?
Other than the Shenandoah Mountains.
We go to the Virgin Islands.
Do you
really? U.S. Virgin Islands.
Really? You must be a one percenter.
And you know what? I think it's time for traffic and weather on A's. Governor Bob McDonnell, congratulations on winning the bet. I have broken out in a sweat, and it was the worst 10 minutes of my life. We look forward
As
to seeing
promised.
You. We look forward to seeing you next month, Governor.
Thanks, Mark.